Hey, thanks for listening to A Certain Degree. My name is Nick. I'm the host. This is an abridged version of my interview with Brian and Derek Demeter from February 2018. First-time brothers as guests. Well, it's not the first time they're brothers. It's the first time that I've had brothers on the show as guests. This makes much more sense in my head. If you want to listen to the full interview, please visit toacertaindegree.com. I have the privilege of doing a radio show for 2 hours on WPRK, and I get to have very special guests on, and this week is no exception. The first time I've ever had relatives on, the first time I've ever had brothers on. Brian, let me set the scene. Brian is to my left, Derek is to my right, and I forgot to ask how to pronounce their last name, but I think it's Demeter. You guys can talk. You don't have to just thumbs up.
Oh, we're waiting yes. for you.
Yeah. Get right up on that mic.
Yeah, okay. Now, here we go.
Okay, so that's Brian.
Yes, this is Brian. Yes, we do say Demeter. Now, we know the Greek pronunciation is Demeter, so we're not offended right. if you want to say Demeter.
We're cool. Greek.
Yeah, so you're cool. You're cool to do that.
Okay.
If you want to be in the in crowd, though, you want to say Demeter.
The in crowd.
Like just.
I think we've established on this show and in my life that I always want to be on the in crowd.
There you go.
In crowd? I just said on the in crowd. All right, great. So turning over to Derek. Hey, Derek.
How's it going?
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here.
As an astronomer, it's probably not that great to be here because you are incredibly tired.
It's like as we were talking earlier, this is like asking somebody, hey, can you come have a talk show at 1 a.m. for, you know, a normal person, me, I'd be ready to go at 1 a.m. But yeah, this is a little too early for me.
So your work schedule and your life schedule is time shifted for hanging out at night.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. Yeah. Now I, with my role at the planetarium, I do a lot of morning stuff now, but I have to switch to nocturnal mode, which is, staying up really late and, you know, trying to get my body adjusted to if I'm doing astronomy work.
Nice. So we will talk at length about astronomy, about art, and some other things I'm sure will come up in that. We might segue and tangent. You guys don't seem like the tangent type of group with that, you know.
Well, I can do tangent, sine, cosine. I could do all of it, man.
Nice math jokes this early. So you are awake.
Representing, yeah.
That's very
nice.
Cool. But let's get to know you, because I don't know you guys at all other than a little bit from your representation on the social mediums that are out there. I've been to the planetarium. Obviously, I've been there for Skyfest a couple of times. But let's get to know you a little bit better. Maybe get to know each other a little bit better, too, because you guys are brothers.
Yeah, I don't know this guy very well at all.
How long have you been brothers?
Since the dawn of time. Now, people don't realize that we're 10 years apart. I'm 10 years older than Derek. When they see us together, they're like, what are you guys a couple years apart? I'm like, no, I'm 10 years. Like, I literally like held him like a baby in my arms. Just this morning.
Yeah,
I carried him here
great.
Like that. Yeah. And a little papoose thing. So that works out well. We're used to that.
He does that still. You know?
Yeah.
He does that still.
You know, that's what you do.
I enjoy being, you know, held by you.
That heartbeat
makes me very,
soothing.
Very comfortable.
Can I get a ride on the way back?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah, why not?
So Derek, how old are you?
I am 32.
So you've been brothers for approximately 32 years.
Ever since I was cradled by my brother.
Yeah. Okay, for the first time.
Yeah, it felt longer.
Did you like him when he was first born?
I did. I think I liked it because I was clearly the older brother, so we never had that, like, you know, the sibling rivalry. It was kind of like,
okay.
I'm the big brother, I'm gigantic.
Yeah, and I'm 10.
Know? Yeah, it's like, and then we had that sort of separation, you know, when he was 7, I was 17. It was like, I had my life going over here, he had his life there. And then as we got older, we became really close, like, you know, like now where we go hang out. He's talking about science. I'm talking about art, and we talk about all kinds of things, which is really cool. I kind of gelled.
I'm very, very jealous. So apparently when my sister was born, I was a little under 2 years old. I told my mom, hey, can I kiss the baby? And so I reached in. She like kind of held me over her so I could go down and kiss her. And I bit the ever loving.
Oh.
Everything out of her nose with my two teeth.
Dude, you totally just did what the penguin did in Batman Returns, man.
Yeah. That was me.
Yeah.
That was me. Danny DeVito is my spirit celebrity.
Nice.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's do a word association game. This is basically 20 questions, but we can't just do 20 questions because it might be copyrighted or trademarked or something else. So every week I change the name to stay in front of all the lawyers and the rules and the regulations. So this week it's going to be stop or smell the roses. So stopping is great. You know, you have the rest stop. You can pull out all the stops. You can stop on a dime, which is important from a safety perspective. It's important and something that we take for granted. Smelling the roses, from what I understand, we just had Valentine's Day, which is one of the fakest holidays of the year. From all the stories that I read, apparently we have bred out the odor in American roses.
What?
So they don't even smell. And yeah, and then there's a little thing we like to call allergies, guys. So stopping and smelling the roses, or stopping is good, smelling the roses is bad.
Gotcha.
So if you're for something, say stop. Sounds wrong, but that's how we're going to play. And if you're against something, smell the roses.
Okay.
Okay. How about voicemail? Stop or smell the roses? Leaving voicemail, receiving voicemail,
talking about voicemail. Definitely stop for me because... So I don't usually, this is going to sound crazy, but I don't usually answer my phone anymore because of just all the spamming going on. So if somebody leaves a voicemail, then they're legit. They want to talk to me. I'll call them back, you know. So I appreciate.
Do you listen to the voicemail?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. Oh, no, okay. I do, yeah. But a lot of times usually people leave voicemail are like, hi, call me back. That's it. And you're like, I wanted to know what you're talking about so I can prepare for it. But I definitely like voicemail.
So if we were to leave you some creative voicemails, you would appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, actually, my voicemail at the planetarium says, name your favorite planet. And I get some really good responses. Like people are like, you know, I really thought about this. I think Mars is great because like they go through like there was one person that like left me like a 15-minute voicemail explaining his reasoning why he liked Jupiter so much.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty informative. It was great.
Nice. I completely agree with Derek on this one. The voicemail is the answering machine of this day and age. It's like with all that spam, I don't ever answer my phone unless it shows up a name that I recognize. If it's anything else, I let it go to voicemail. And like Derek said, a lot of times you like answer it, or you listen to your voicemail, and it's like, oh, wow, this is legit person that, you know, wants to commission art or whatever. And it's like, I look at it, I'm like, this is the answering machine of this day and age.
All right, we're going to start leaving you some. So we'll put your phone number on the website. Yeah. And that way people can reach out to you.
I expect at least 30-minute voicemail from you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just standing on my head. Come on.
Good,
I can
good,
do that.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep. Very good. Speaking of more important things, zombies. Stop or smell the roses. Oh, this is a beard scratcher.
Yeah, the beard scratcher. I like that. That's a good... I mean, the good thing about zombies is... The great thing about zombies is, I mean, you could literally, like, if you have like a katana or something, you just want to go slashing. I mean, you could literally just go slash some zombies. Think about it. There's a good side to this.
I didn't realize this. So somebody mentioned that as an exercise motivation, zombies are great because if you think about the zombie apocalypse is coming, you need to get on the treadmill.
Oh, yeah.
And run faster. But what you're saying is turning that around and going, if you need to get some aggression out.
Absolutely. You want to practice your samurai skills? I mean,
take
there you
it
go.
Out on a zombie.
You got zombies just coming. They're right there. They're in your front yard. Boom.
And I'm gonna play the idea that, you know, the original concept of the zombie from voodoo religion. I like that idea because you ever seen Weekend at the best zombie movie ever is Weekend at Bernie's 2 because it if you play something or you do something, you can raise the dead to do your bidding.
Yeah.
So like if I like let's say Brian died all of a sudden, I can like play like a Van Halen song, and he would just start like cleaning my house or something.
Oh,
be great,
that would work.
You know
yeah,
I mean?
Good point.
Like so zombies. So stop for that part of zombies. Smell the roses. I don't know if I want to be around a bunch of people that want to like eat my brain though. That's
yeah, that's a good point.
Your precious brain.
Not,
yeah,
yeah. That's a
I don't
big
know about
part
that.
Of your
and we're already
identity.
Kind of yeah. And you know, I mean, at the same time though, it's like you know, it's good to have a restart button. But you know what? That's just a lot of just craziness going on. You know, I don't know. It depends on what zombie you're talking about.
Yeah. So
now the Cranberry
fun.
Zombie is a great song. So I'm
going
to have to say,
point.
You know.
Okay. So song zombie that. Good, serving zombie good, eating brain zombie bad.
Correct.
Yeah.
Got it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good. Well, you know, I never thought to take it down to that level.
That's how we do it here.
Yeah.
That's how we do it.
How about cobbler, the dessert, not the person who fixes your shoes? Stop or smell the roses?
So I'm going to definitely say stop. I'm a dessert fiend. He knows that's like kryptonite. So if like somebody...
Any dessert?
Mainly cakes and pies and cookies. Those are like...
Okay.
I, like anything baked, baked goods. And
I mean, they're called goods for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, if you put a like an apple, warm apple cobbler or even peach cobbler, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to eat that.
Cobbler or pie?
Definitely pie more because yeah. I just like the crust and everything. But I mean, you know, basically cobbler is nothing more but just smashed pie.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's already kind of mother bird yeah, chewed for
pretty
you.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian?
I would say stop for sure, but I have to have the gluten-free cobbler because I'm the gluten-free guy because I discovered that I'm allergic to wheat, which is very, like, it's a double-edged sword because I've reduced my intake of carbs, which is healthy for that reason, but then you have to be that guy that's like, I'll have the gluten-free cobbler, so which is a little bit like people look at you and you're like, why are you doing that? I'm like, it's not a fad. I'm allergic to wheat. And you have yeah. to explain the whole situation. So either way, I probably would steer clear of it, but if I had to have it, I'd have the gluten-free cobbler.
So if you didn't have to worry about the gluten-free part, what's your favorite dessert?
Oh, definitely pie.
Yeah.
For sure. Like a key lime or lemon meringue or something like that is what I would go to for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for being here. I wanted to talk a little bit about how you both got into both art for you, Brian, and astronomy for you, Derek. And it sounded like, from what I could gather, Brian, you were drawing from a very young age. And Derek, it was a trip to a planetarium with your dad.
Yes.
That kind of got you into it. So it sounds like from a very young age, you both kind of knew what it was you wanted to do, or maybe the general direction of where you wanted to go. Was that pretty much the case?
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember being in kindergarten and the teacher posted an assignment where you had to choose a letter from the alphabet and then make an animal that represented that letter. So I think I had a zebra for Z or something like that. So I just drew a zebra and I'm like, la-di-da, I'm drawing a zebra. And she hung them all up on the board and everybody was making the biggest deal about it. So I'm looking around going like, wow, this is my superpower. So from then on, I just kept drawing and drawing and drawing, and where it led, it led. It was the way I got through school. Can I draw extra credit for this book cover or so I can get, you know, pass this report? And it worked. It was like, eh.
Right, right. So you dazzled them with the visuals so
exactly.
they would be distracted from the words.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Sage advice. Sage advice. Derek, going to the planetarium when you were a kid?
Yeah, So at the Shakespeare Theater, you know, you got that round theater.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that used to be the John Young Planetarium when the Orlando Science Center was there. So my dad took me there when I was like 6 years old or whatever. And they had a show about Mars that was narrated by Patrick Stewart. So you got Captain Picard narrating Mars. That was the first time I thought, oh my gosh, there is this other world out there that we have no, you know, that exists beyond our own. And it just opened up this kind of Pandora's box for my interest in astronomy. It's the fact that there's this stuff beyond our planet, and you know what's out there. And it just, and then of course they had a telescope set up that night, and so I looked at the telescope. Then they were looking at Saturn. You know, Saturn is like one of the most amazing objects to look through a telescope because it actually has a legit ring, and it looks like what you would imagine Saturn to look like. And it was just that it was the start of then, and then it just and the and then of course both my parents, my mom and my dad. You know, they fostered that they would take me to the Orlando Science Center volunteer when I was 13. You know, we always make the joke that because Brian has a son and my nephew, like, that's how you start. You know, mm-hmm. you start by young, by getting involved in all that stuff.
Something,
and, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, and it just kind of, you know, trickled then.
And you guys grew up in Ormond or Daytona? Or you lived there for a while?
I grew up in Ormond Beach. When we moved here to Winter Park, that was probably what I would consider Derek growing up in, because that was, how old were you when we moved?
I was only like closer? 4 or 5. Yeah. So, yeah. But you were more the Ormond Beach.
Yeah. It was like, I think I was in like 7th grade when we moved from Ormond. So it was like a hybrid for me. But, you know, Florida, you know, Central North Florida or whatever Volusia would be considered.
But relatively native to the area.
Yeah.
So,
well, I was born in New Jersey, but we came down here when I was 6. So it's like, you know, I feel like a native Floridian.
Yeah.
So for that matter, I mean, that's how we
kind of
view it.
And I was born in this soil. So
yeah,
I
you were.
In this soil?
I'm flow grown. Well, I was flow grown. I was grown here in Florida. I mean, yeah. I was born in Daytona, so.
You were the first Demeter to be
first
Florida.
Demeter to be flow grown. You ever seen those stickers that says Flow Grown?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, there's this whole, there's a, yeah, there's a whole,
is
like.
Is it Flow or Fla?
Flow, like Flow, Florida.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Point. It's F-L-O, Grown.
Grown.
When I ask people, like, how do you say it? It's Flow Grown, that's what they say.
You're asking a lot of people how to say that, huh?
The people that have those stickers. You gotta ask the questions.
You gotta ask the questions, man. You gotta get the answers.
You gotta, well, yeah.
Because that's what you're all about.
That's what I'm a scientist. That's what I do.
I gotcha.
He's notorious for asking questions because we would go to the air shows when we were younger, and he'd be this little kid, and he'd be like, Dad, what is this on this plane? And like 17 other guys that were just hungry to answer the question of what missile that was or whatever would come out of the woodwork and just answer the question. So he always knew how to get his answers, just shout the question into the air and people will answer it.
Right, because people want to, well, they're waiting for their turn to talk.
Exactly.
Yeah. So from an art and an astronomy standpoint, you guys spend a lot of time together. You probably talk about this a lot, but what are the similarities that you see between the two areas?
Constellations are the perfect metaphor for us.
Yeah.
It's like, Derek, okay, that over there, those are some stars. That's a blue star. That's a blah, blah, blah star. And I'm like, no, man, that's like Perseus, man. He's got like Medusa's head in his hand and everything. Both correct answers.
Right.
We love it.
Astronomy, I always say in my shows, astronomy is one of the only sciences that really connect us as humans because there's a lot of tradition to astronomy. You know, the days of the week come from the planets that are visible in the sky, the constellations and their mythology, the storytelling, the predicting of the seasons off the stars. I mean, there's a lot of connection to human, you know, desires here on Earth. So that's what I love about astronomy is it connects us all, you know, and, you know, with art and, you know, drawings and paintings and music and things like that. I mean, it inspires everybody.
I agree.
This episode was brought to you by a certified bad business idea called Small Potatoes. Tiny houses are great, but what if you could have your very own tiny food truck? We'll convert your Prius, Civic, or other small car to serve one thing and probably still be road legal. Small Potatoes, repacked compacts with impact that you can't subtract and will attract eye contact as a matter of fact and occasionally interact with vanilla extract. We're working on the tagline. Gastrointestinal tract. Have to work that in. Learn more at toacertaindegree.com. That's toacertaindegree.com.
Derek and Brian, may I call you Derek and Brian?
Sure.
Great. Eating, walking, weather, the restroom. What do all of these things have in common?
Eating, walking.
Weather.
Weather.
The restroom. Like weather, like outside weather, yeah. Not weather either. Right. They can all mess up your clothes. And your clothes are literally the most important things that you wear on a day-to-day basis, especially in key social and business-like settings. True or false? Most important things you wear on a day-to-day basis, your clothes.
True, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As much as we'd like, we can't replace eating, walking, weather, and the restroom. Or can we? We cannot. With something less dangerous to our appearance, we can't do that. And by the way, that's just a few of the things that can mess up our clothes. There's literally several other things that include overzealous pets, or even sometimes just zealous pets, clumsy humans, plagues of frogs, sports. Guess what? We have a solution to this terrible problem. Our new company, Turnabout, will manufacture clothes that are as stylish as they are, ready for it, reversible. You will literally be wearing your clothes inside out, ready to do the old switcheroo in case something untoward happens. Turnabout clothes look exactly the same in either configuration, and they are manufactured with a space-age polymer, Derek, that prevents liquids or puddings from soaking through. Because puddings are a thing. Let's do a quick role play. I'll be Steve Harrington, your employer at the Department of Energy. Brian, you'll be Will. Derek, you'll be Lucas. And you've come into my office to ask about funding for your respective projects. All right. Ready?
Yep, let's we're ready.
Do a quick stretch. All right. Will and Lucas, good to see you guys. So obviously
good
we're trying.
Oh,
great. Thank you for that. We're trying to get into the upside down. So I think both of your plans have a lot of merit, but I see that, Will, you have a stain on your shirt, so we're going to go with Lucas's plan.
But see, I didn't get to push the button where it's self-reversible. You didn't get the chance to see that. Do you want to see that now? You just hit this button and it literally just morphs. Yeah, you hit this button here that you
Let's see it. Let's see it.
Yeah, so it's called this button. That's the working title, this button. So you hit this button and it just I'll hit it up. That's how it sounds. Exactly how it sounds.
No, that was great.
And it just
You
warps.
May be a Foley artist after all.
I'm working on it. So it just reverses and now it's gone.
Okay, now you don't have a stain on your shirt, so Will, your plan was actually cheaper, so we'll go with yours.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah, and less safe, but cheaper.
Okay.
And scene. So you see the power of clean clothes.
Interesting.
And what the reversible clothes.
My wife will like this, by the way. She's probably like clapping right now. Just listen.
Why is that?
Because she cannot stand stained clothes. She married an artist, but she can't stand stained clothes. So if I have a new
shirt, it was because she was staining her clothes all the time.
No, because like if I had reverse clothes, I could hit this button and it would just flip and I would never have stained clothes. So that would be another good point for this product.
I like the idea of the button because then it becomes just like the shirt just swipes around.
Yes.
I like that. Okay.
Here's the thing. Here's what I've been thinking of about this is why it's a bad business idea. Is because
One reason?
Oh, there's many reasons, but but the thing that came to my mind originally was the chocolate pudding part, where you know if you reverse the clothes, you're gonna have a nice big pile of chocolate pudding in front of you.
Yeah, but you're gonna taste that much more delicious later on.
Yeah, it's just gonna simmer and sort of. What's the word?
Am I smelling a fetish here, Brian?
Yeah, that might be something there.
You know.
Yeah, so, yeah, if you do just put your clothes on inside out after you've poured soup on it, it's probably not going to be all that hygienic or great, but yeah. You'll look okay.
But you'll look good, and that's all that matters. You'll look fabulous if you...
So this comes into the tagline, turnabout, because you deserve to look your best on the outside, while on the inside, your clothes are super gross.
You're crying in the inside.
Yeah, ooh, but you could be crying.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's idea number one. By the way, guys... I don't know if you realize this by being on the show. You may not have read the small print. You'll have to choose one of these and actually run with one of these. I know you've got plenty of time on your hands to take one of these ideas.
We got
to bring it to the market, all of that. So turnabout is the first one. Slapshot. Now, I'm going to start out with the idea where it started, and then we're going to evolutionize it, which I think may or may not be a verb. An alarm clock, slapshot, an alarm clock with an arm and hand that slaps you to wake up. Now, this has all the hallmarks of a bad business idea already. It's dangerous, fairly unnecessary. There's a ton of cost associated with it, like not only the research and design, but probably some big liability issues, right? So it's enough to discourage most people from even considering this. For me, though, it's a jumping off point. Gentlemen, and I use that term, gentlemen, why would we want to manufacture clocks at all in this day and age with all the controversy surrounding time? What good would it do us? That's why Slapshot, let's pivot here, may not be a clock company at all. It may just be a slapping mechanism company. For example, why not add a slapping arm to your fridge? Every time you go in for a snack, slap. In your car, try to text and drive. Guess what? Slap. Put one on your hat to help you be less awkward in social settings. So maybe you bring up politics at a small dinner party. Slap.
That would be perfect for you call it a slap upside the head. You just put it like on your shoulder.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Every time you need to be slapped upside the head,
See, the problem with that is you just need one then. What I'm thinking is we sell a lot.
Oh, like all over your body? There's just like slap shots?
I'm just thinking around your house, around different places, like one in your car and you know, different areas. So basically these mechanical arms. I'm Canadian, by the way. So mechanical arms, space shuttle, kind of our jam.
A.
Yeah. B. Wait, what are we was that a bit?
That was A, you know, for Canadian A.
Oh, I get that. That's not who we are. That's not who we are at all. So, Slapshot, any questions or ideas on Slapshot mechanical slapping arms?
I think it's a phenomenal idea. I think everybody would want to buy this for somebody else. I think everybody wants somebody else to have this.
It's definitely going
to
be in the dollar bin at the stores for Christmas time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, everybody's going to get that in their stocking. They're going to get slapped while they open it in the stocking.
Like, just put it in.
Yeah, just put it in.
You weren't good this year, smack.
Yeah, pretty much.
I agree.
Or, you know, like, for example, you know, you're a lady and you're at the club or whatever, and you got this annoying guy coming towards you, slap, yeah. Right? You know, that would help.
Oh, that would be like on a wristwatch, you know? Or a bracelet or something. It's just like, you know,
just, yeah, like talk, yeah, to, not the, interested
talk to the
in
bracelet.
You.
Talk, slap.
To the, yeah, yeah, talk to the bracelet.
It's a great idea.
Or, yeah.
That's such a catchy phrase, too. I think that could be the tagline. Talk to the bracelet.
Smack.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, guys, you got to
choose. Don't talk smack.
No, do talk smack.
Do talk smack.
Do talk smack.
Ooh,
yeah, do talk smack. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, there we go.
Great one.
Yeah. To a Certain Degree can be heard live every Monday from 7 to 9 a.m. on your FM dial at 91.5 or streaming at WPRK.org. That's just if you want it fresh. It's just as good reheated as a podcast. It's a Hot Pocket Degree. It's two Hot Pocket Degree. Brian and Derek, the Demeters, here's what you need to do. Follow them on Instagram, capturing_the_cosmos for Derek, Brian_Demeter for Brian. Derek works at the Emil Bueller Perpetual Trust Planetarium at Seminole State College. Learn more about that at seminolestate.edu/planet. And Brian's site is the aptly named briandemeter.com. Buy, sell, and trade his work there. Actually, just buy it. Sorry. Thanks for listening. Without you, this would not have played.
I might have to go out with you, but it might be too dark for me.
Well, I know scared. Some places that are fairly, like, you know, they're in state parks, so they're fairly safe. But we can go somewhere that won't be so...
As long as we hold hands.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And skip.
Right. Yeah.
Well, obviously we're going to skip.
Yeah.
You're going to be out late at night taking photos of the sky together.
Yeah.
We're skipping.
It's a given. And you know, you already look like, you already have kind of almost a half Sasquatch look to you. So the people
like
would be,
I am a half
would be scared of you. And if you're walking around in the dark, they're going to think you're Sasquatch.
You're right. They'll be scared of you. The
you're
animals
scared
will be afraid
of you.
Of you.
Not,
right.
Yeah.
So I'll be protecting you.
Yeah.
I'll be
You'll be my defender.
Important. Yes.
Yeah. Defender in the darkness. Defender of darkness.
Wait.
Well, defender in darkness.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty... Everything about this sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Relatively macho.
Yeah. You could get a shirt like that. People, it will take you more,
defender,
you know...
Yeah,
defender in darkness. Yeah. Great.
Well, you have that Leonidas beard. You could have the Spartan outfit or whatever, and you could just be like, this is Central Florida, like in the woods or wherever you are.
I think you just want to see me in a Speedo.
Oh, man. I was trying to...
That was subtle. It was subtle.
Man.
Yeah.
forget it.